We're at the Regional Crop Insurance Workshop in Grand Island. We're going to visit with Brian Brigeman, Associate Professor and Director of the Arthur Capper Cooperative Center at Kansas State University. And Brian noted that you used to work for the Federal Reserve Bank of Kansas City, so you've been working in economic policy for quite a while.
Yeah, it's kind of an interest of mine and something I enjoy doing. I grew up on a farm, and agriculture, too, is very special to me and near and dear to my heart. So when I have a chance to apply, you know, the economic knowledge that I've gained and boil it down for ag, I really do enjoy doing that.
And today you were talking about the macro outlook on the economy and implications for agriculture. And, boy, agriculture the last 3-4 years has really been kind of a shining light in this economy, hasn't it?
It definitely has, you know, with record net farm incomes for most producers. Certainly for this year, you know, if you were in a drought-stricken area, didn't have the volume, that's definitely a challenge. High feed costs that are up certainly puts pressure on our livestock producers. But when we look at, you know, the USDA numbers coming out, the average net farm income, even in this drought year, we're at record high levels. So, you know, even though we've had pressures on the ag side and certainly pressures within the U.S. economy, things have been going pretty well for agriculture.
Have you been surprised by agriculture's success during this time of poor economic growth nationwide, or is there just a separation there?
I'm not surprised, primarily because we learned a very harsh lesson in the 1980s with excessive amounts of debt, large, balance sheets that had very small amounts of equity, and then when interest rates shot up and some demand through a recession and very tough time, demand for our products collapsed, it was a very difficult time. And a lot of that pointed to too much debt. And we have learned that lesson. You look across, now there are pockets where debt, you know, maybe has come up, but we're by no means where we were in the 70s and not anywhere close to the lessons that a lot of the U.S. economy is learning right now through housing sector debt, too much credit card debt, too much debt just for businesses. You know, they're having to go through this deleveraging process and learn the lesson, hopefully learn the lesson, that we did in agriculture in the 1980s.
You did talk a lot about Fed policy, economic policy, and you talked about how accommodative that policy has been and really very helpful to agriculture.
Yeah, it has, you know, boosted us, given us a boost on that side. You know, when we have, a lot of burgeoning demand out there for our products, that certainly helps because a great deal of our net farm incomes and boosts there come from exporting products. So we need to have the demand on that side. But if we have, you know, a lower exchange rate from some of this accommodative monetary policy, you know, the research has shown that typically in these types of periods, it does help boost up agriculture in terms of their income. So when you couple the stronger demand out there for the exports and our products are a little more affordable than some of our global competitors, it definitely has played a role and has helped agriculture from an income standpoint.
Now, we've been hearing economists say for the last 3-4 years, interest rates are bound to go up here at some point. Are they?
Well, it's you always like making predictions when you're at zero and you can't go negative. And you know, the only way to go is up. The question is when. That's what's being debated. We all know that at some point interest rates have to come up. And from what we hear from the Fed coming out is, you know, rates staying at the zero bound until mid-2015, which, you know, got bumped back from mid-2014. So that's, you know, quite a ways out there. But the question is, when do you have them come up? Because if they rise, you know, too fast, too soon before the economy truly is healed, throw us right back into a recession, if not maybe a depression. It could be very bad. But leave them too low for too long, well, we risk, you know, inflation. That would be rampant and would have to be under control by, well, we learned the lessons from Paul Volcker in the 80s, the way that you, in the 70s, the way that you combat inflation is you let interest rates just rise very rapidly. And that would be devastating. So when you think about interest rates, and it's tough to say, yes, we know the direction has to be up, but when do you start raising them? And that is what is key for that whole monetary policy piece.
Okay, so from a farmer's or rancher's standpoint, as you look at the big economy as a whole, what are some of the key things to be watching here and the impact it could have on their business?
Well, as you as I think about it, one of the things to pay attention to are things that happen in the global marketplace, how demand is evolving. What are some of the issues that are going on in Europe? Is that going to fall apart? History has shown that when there is stress, and recent history, when there is stress in the global economy, typically these investors come to us, buy our treasuries, the flight to safety, the flight to quality. That could put pressure on, you know, our prices through elevating, you know, value of the dollar, exchange rates, seeing that boost. That could be one challenge if you want to look out maybe even broader outside of our borders on that piece. But for the economy itself here within the U.S., and I know it's this measure lags a little bit. It's kind of a byproduct of things that are getting better. But looking at that unemployment rate, we need to have this labor market heal. We need to see businesses starting to invest. If you were to want to look at maybe some of those more early warning indicators, the Federal Reserve System has a number of indices that they track the economy with. The Kansas City Fed has a number of indices looking at there from a manufacturing standpoint, looking at rural areas. Also, too, the Philadelphia Fed has a manufacturing index that you can look to maybe get some leading indicators of some of that improvement, potentially employment, hiring starting to happen.
Okay, and not to get into politics too deeply, but is the election next week going to have a big influence on which direction things might go?
That's a great question, and really it kind of boils down to political. And I don't want to get into the politics of it all, but one thing that's pretty clear, and from businesses that you talk to and that I have talked to and have heard, we need clarity. We need to know what the rules to the game are going to be. If taxes are going to go up, tell us. How are you going to resolve the fiscal cliff? Tell us. What's farm policy going to be? Tell us. Give us some clear signals so we can make the appropriate investments within the economy. Businesses are much like, you know, the overall economy. They have a lot of liquidity as well. Tons of cash sitting on their balance sheets, and businesses, they don't like having too big of a war chest. They like war chests when there's uncertainty, but that doesn't make them a lot of money. They're not earning a lot of interest on that cash that's sitting out there. They want to put it to work. So having that, just clearing things up, resolving some of this uncertainty, if from an economy standpoint, the political side, leave that away, but we need to have that resolved. We need to have that cleared up so businesses can get clear signals on where they should go, how they're going to be affected, the investments that they should make going forward.